Well, I did a whole lot of walking when I was growing up. It was like a couple miles from my house to my high school. And all of our, I mean, we never argued. My mom told us to get up, get out of the house, and go walk to school. We never said, oh, Mom, can't you drive us? But the fact of the matter is, when I was born in 1969, 50% of American kids walked to school.
Today, when I was a kid.
It was in California, so the weather was basically good. But yeah. Still, today that number has dropped to 13%.
That's huge.
I know. We're here to find out what is up with this. We have 10-year-old Jeremiah Weintraub on the phone right now from Charleston, West Virginia. Good morning, Jeremiah. You're getting ready to go to school right now, right?
Yes.
So how long does it take you to walk to school?
About 5 minutes.
And wouldn't you rather get in the car and ride with your mom or dad?
No.
Why not?
Because it sort of just gives you a jump start on the day.
A jump start on the day if you ride your... You also ride your bike to school sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Which one would you rather do?
Ride my bike. Normally.
You'd rather ride your bike, and that's probably quicker.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't want to make you late for school. We're going to check back in with you a little later. Jeremiah Weintraub walking to school today in Charleston, West Virginia. It is National Walk to School Month.
I did not know that.
It is. And you might be wondering, why do we need a National Walk to School Month? Well, to explain that, we have with us Gina Lovasi. She's the Associate Director of the Health and Society Scholars Program at Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health, and also our own takeaway correspondent, Andrea Bernstein. So, Gina, let's go to you first. How big a problem is, I mean, we're kind of joking, taking it kind of lightly, but I understand this is actually a relatively serious problem.
Right. Well, I think we need to consider the potential for getting physical activity as part of kids' daily lives. There's a lot of fear about what might happen to kids while they're walking to school, but we know that
traffic hazards,
but violent crime and traffic hazards have decreased or remained stable over the last couple of decades, while obesity rates among children in the U.S. have tripled.
Well, there's a conference going on in New York City right now. It is the Walk 21 NYC conference that started yesterday in New York. Here's Rodney Tolley, the conference director.
We now know that it's actually the most dangerous thing you can do to a child. Putting a child in the front seat of a car and driving that child to school, you expose the child to the highest level of pollution imaginable. And of course, by taking them away from their friends and from interaction with their community and their neighborhood, you're damaging their mental health long term. You're damaging their physical health, because kids who aren't walkers as kids don't become walkers as adults. It's the worst imaginable thing to do.
Holy cow, Andrea Bernstein, you were at that conference.
Worst
imaginable thing?
Well, it has pretty bad and pretty long-term effects. And, you know, one of the things that sort of really hit me last night or yesterday at the conference and all the different workshops that I was going to was just how much American society is built to make it hard for anybody to walk, let alone a child. We, you know, people live very far from their work. Schools are built on the outskirts of society. They're built out on, you know, big roads. Many of them have no sidewalks, but they do have parking lots. So there's actually an inducement for people to drive and not to walk.
So, Gina Lovasi with the Health and Society Scholars Program at Columbia University, the other thing that hit me as I was reading this is actually traffic accidents are the leading cause of death among young people. So maybe people don't realize that by putting their kid in the car, they are less safe.
Yes, I think that's right. I think we need to put the risks in proportion to each other, and it's much more likely to be killed or injured in an accident as a passenger in a car, or to be injured by the long-term effects of obesity.
But what do you say to people who listen to you and say, oh, well, fine, in the city, you can walk to school. I live in Westchester County, or I live in the suburbs of Detroit, or I'm out in Los Angeles where, you know, walking is a social disease. I mean, how practical is this for people outside of urban areas?
I think you need to customize the recommendations to each area. But it might be possible to walk on some days to school or to walk to other destinations. We know that children get activity both during the walk, and then they're also more likely to be active once they reach their destination. So those, combined with the fact that you're setting habits for life, are really a cumulative benefit of getting some walking in.
So, Andrea
and John, if I could just jump in here. I mean, I think that, you know, sometimes it isn't possible because the changes that need to be made are very long term. Like, you need to build a school closer to where you live. But sometimes it just means you should have a sidewalk. A lot of communities in America have no sidewalks. The streets are maybe 6 lanes wide, which make it very hard for a child to cross, and you can narrow the crossings and make them safer. So, you know, one of the things that's striking, though, is the extent to which even when people are close, they feel like it's the wrong thing to do to drive their children. And one of the most striking presentations I went to was about Newark, where they're trying to put in a safe routes to school. And even though Newark, New Jersey is an area where a lot of people walk, it's because they don't own cars. They can't afford cars. And as soon as people do buy cars, they will drive their children, even when it's only 2 blocks, because they think that is the safest way to get their child to school.
Well, let's check back in with our resident child, Jeremiah Weintraub, fifth grader. He's 10 years old in Charleston, West Virginia. Jeremiah?
Yes.
You're actually outside walking to school now, right?
Yeah.
So when did you, how young were you when you started walking to school?
About 7.
And were you scared?
Not really.
Why not?
Because I'd been out before, but I just really hadn't been walking to school, so.
And your little sister has been riding her bike and walking to school since kindergarten, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys go together?
Yeah.
Okay, so what? Tell me how you would convince your friend who rides in his car with his mom every morning. What do you say to your friend to get him out of his mom's car and walking to school?
I normally say it's a lot more fun, and it, like, wakes you up in the morning. It makes you more alert and ready to learn.
Okay, that's Jeremiah Weintraub, fifth grader from Charleston, West Virginia, and takeaway correspondent Andrea Bernstein. Let me give you the last word here. What are we expecting to do? What solutions do we have for this?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a lot of things that communities are doing. For example, there's the walking school bus model, where people actually get a group of maybe up to 20 children to stop and walk together to school. And we're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing some communities lower the speed limit around the schools, so cars will drive more slowly. We're having all kinds of, you know, sort of education awareness things. But it's a long, long, long haul, both because of the American infrastructure and because people are very used to driving. And one of the things I kept hearing was people need to, it's a long haul to get people to change their behaviors.
And Gina Lavasi, Associate Director of the Health and Society Scholars Program at Columbia University. I imagine if more kids start walking, they're going to be healthier all around, right?
Absolutely. And some of the environmental changes that could support safety will also support walking.
Yeah, okay. Thank you to all of you. It is National Walk to School Month, so everyone
Thanks,
out there.
Celeste.
Thank you. Have a good morning. Get your kids
now.
Out there walking.
Get walking, and you can hear us on a podcast if you want to hear the takeaway while you walk to school. We actually want to do a survey on that. Who walks to school as a kid? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org, and give us a visual picture of what you used to walk by when you went to school.
No exaggerations.
No exaggerations. So where should we be next?
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.